Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. At the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you will, turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So I would not that you remain in the dark regarding spirituals. Now, the word spiritual there is the word pneumaticos, which we've said over time, right? And it's a word that speaks about things of the spirit, right? So things of the spirit. So what is Paul saying? Now concerning the things of the spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now the word brethren is a word that is used to speak about people that are from and of the same womb, right? So brethren will be Adelphos, that is people that have the same inheritance, people that have the same heritage. Altogether, it says, I will not have you to be ignorant. Now, first of all, for him to just say now concerning the things of the spirit, it means the spirit is not a conversation that is new to them. It means that there has been a background of what they should know before he says things of the spirit, right? You can't really just meet someone for the first time or write a letter to someone for the first time, and you're saying concerning the things of whatever. Right. So it means that for them to for Paul to be able to write concerning spirituals, they know something about the spirit. Now, if you look carefully at chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or if you go back to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you see 1 Corinthians chapter 1 carefully, you see something very important there. Look at verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Look at that again. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would it be to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at Romans chapter 10 quickly. Romans 10, if you look at chapter 10, verse... look at chapter 10, verse Romans 10. If you look at verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you go back to verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Right? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. So, to call upon the name of the Lord, go back to verse 8. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So there is the word of faith being preached, the word of his faithfulness, the message of his faithfulness, the doctrine of his faithfulness that is being preached. And that is really about the fact that if thou shalt confess. Now the word confess, we've established over time, is the word homologio, which is a word that means to agree with something that is said, or to say the same thing as what has been said. Now, similar with what John will use in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and able. So the word confess there will not mean to confess or to say the things you do because God is not aware. No, it just really means homologio, gotten from two Greek words, homo, H-O-M-O, and logio, which is what we call logos. Now, logos would be thought, pattern, ideology, concept, why homo will be the same, right? So if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the word confess is to agree, right? So what does it mean to confess with thy mouth? It is shall believe in thy heart. So to confess with thy mouth is what Paul is teaching us, shall believe in thy heart. you would do well not to separate it, because if you look at verse 10, you would possibly get into a conclusion that a man that believeth is righteous, but the one that confesses it is saved. Did you see that? So you can possibly say verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you are not careful there, you might say, oh, when you believe in your heart, you only receive righteousness, but when you confess, you have to confess before you receive salvation. Well, what he's just talking about is calling upon the name of the Lord, right? For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. So what is the faith of a man that believes or calls upon is that he will not be ashamed, that is, he is saved. Now go to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. Unto the church of God, right, which is at Corinth. Now, so Paul is writing to the church of God that will be the body of Christ, that will be the Christians in Corinth. Did you get that? So unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus. Are we together? Christ our Lord, both the as and... So we went to Romans to explain call upon the name of Lord, call upon the name Jesus. So call upon the name Jesus. Those who have called in the real sense will be those who have believed, that is confessed, that is agree, right? That is what you will call is that in verse 2 again will be, those will be the church of God, that is those that are what? Sanctified. Did you get that? So it means that the people that Paul is writing to are those that are what? Sanctified. Look at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in every thing ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you. Right? So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. Or look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It is written, I have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yeah, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, and the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except to save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12 carefully. Paul says, now we are received. So who are they that are in Corinth, or who are they that Paul is talking to? Those who are what? Sanctified. Those that call upon the name of the Lord, that is, those who are saved. So Paul now says, now we are received. Who are the we that have received? It will be those of them in the real sense, including us, who have believed on the name of the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord, believed in the work of God, that is, we've received salvation and righteousness. Right? So now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are what? Freely given unto us. So, first of all, there are things that are given. But before you get there, he says, we have received. Not. So there is the receiving not, and there is the receiving. So there is that which we have received, there is that which we have not received. That which we have received is the Spirit which is of God, and that which we have not received is the spirit of this world. Did you get that? So Paul, in the earlier part of 1 Corinthians, already establishes that every saint in Corinth has been received something. Did you get that? Now, if you now go back to chapter 12, how will you now read chapter 12, verse 1? Look at that carefully, chapter 12, verse 1. Don't forget, in the real sense, Paul is tackling questions around things of the Spirit, or questions around concerns of the Corinthians. If you look at chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, now as touching or concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. That's one of the things he dealt with. If you look at verse 25, he says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Right? So if you look at chapter 8 again, now as touching things offered unto idols. Altogether. So you see the consistency of Paul. In the real sense, you will realize that the Corinthians had questions and Paul was tackling their questions, right? So if you look at chapter 12, now concerning spirituals. Now we said spirituals is things of the Spirit. Now we went to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2 to establish that the word Spirit, or the conversation around Spirit, was not new to the Corinthians. Altogether. So how else can you read 1 Corinthians 12? Now concerning that which we have received from 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now, what did Paul say they have received? He says, we have received the Spirit not of this world, but the Spirit which is of Christ, which is of God. Are we together? So, how can you read 1 Corinthians 12? Now concerning the Spirit which is of God that we have received, or now concerning the things of the Spirit which is of God that we have received, into bracket 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. You know, when I do these things, I hope you take note of them, because I'm showing you how to, you know, connect dots in the Bible across scriptures to aid your explanation, right? So now concerning spirituals, it is now concerning the things of that Spirit that I earlier told you about in chapter 2 verse 12, that is the Spirit. So they receive the Spirit, not that which is of the world, but that which is of God. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, that is Adelphos. So what makes them brethren? It is that they receive the same thing. Did you get that? So what makes them brethren? I'll say it one more time. It is that they receive the same thing. What is the same thing that they receive? It is that we receive the Spirit, not of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. So they have collectively together received that which is the gift of God, that is His Spirit. Did you get that? So it says, now concerning that Spirit, or now concerning the things of that Spirit that you've received. So first of all, you must actually understand that in the real sense, there are things of that Spirit. Or let's say it better, there is the Spirit, then there will be things of the Spirit. Did you get that? Now look at verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? You get that right now. So what he's really teaching there, so when he says that Jesus is accursed, he's just really saying you can't separate Jesus from the Spirit. Did you get that right? So I give you, so saying Jesus is Lord will be done by the Spirit. In the real sense, it is because of the Spirit we will say Jesus is Lord. Yeah? So anyways, if you look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts now, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the what? The same Lord. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. If you look at verse 4 carefully, the word diversities in the Greek is the word that is diarises. I'll spell that for you. D-I-A-R-D-I-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. Diarises. Right? Diarises. Diarises. Well, anyways, I'm not Greek, but it's D-I-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. I'll spell that one more time for you. D-I-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. Now, it's a word that speaks about division or distribution. Are we together? Right? Distribution or differences or distinction. Right? So there are distinctions within the gift, but it is the same Spirit. Right? There are divisions within the gift, but it is the same Spirit. There are diversities within the gift, or that are of the gift, or diversities in gifts, but it is the same Spirit responsible for them all. Did you see that? Now your attention must go back to what? Same. Did you get that? So if you look at the next verse, verse 5, and there are differences. The word differences in verse 5 is the exact same Greek word used as diversities in verse 4. Did you see that? So now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Do you understand? So there's no difference between diversities and differences between verse 4 and verse 5. The same exact word, diarises, right? So there are diarises of gifts and there are diarises of administrations. But what? Don't forget, your attention should be back on the same Lord. Then it takes you back again in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. So what will diversities again be? It will be diarises. What is diarises? It will be distinction, divisions, diversities, differences, or different. Did you get that? So there are different administrations, different operations, different gifts, but in the real sense, it is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now verse 7 now says, but the manifestation, altogether, but the manifestation of the Spirit, right? So a good way to read that, you know, in English language, when you use the word but, right? It might almost look like you are negating what was said before. Do you understand? Oh, you're such a beautiful lady. You're such a very handsome young man, but you are tall. Yeah? Just get that and get the point, right? So in the real sense, when you say but, it's almost as if, you know how, when someone speaks to you and gives you very beautiful, lovely things and says very beautiful, lovely things about you. Oh, you are beautiful, you are intelligent, you are brilliant, you are very, very lovely, very kind-hearted, you have a large heart, your heart is beautiful, but you are what you are, you like to talk too much. Let's use that. You know, the natural instinct of a man will relegate every other good thing that was said and focus on the but. Do you get that? So the average mind, when looking at but from the English narrative, almost looks as if you are talking about something that wants to negate all you've been saying. So a better way to use that word but is the word moreover. Did you get that? Is the word moreover, or you can say and. Yeah, also you can say, moreover, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Look at that again. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, that word every man in the real sense is a single Greek word. We have started serious study right now. I want you to pay attention to these things. Take note of these things, right? So, to every man, there is a single Greek word. Every man, a single Greek word. And the single Greek word is the word in the Greek, hekastos. Hekastos, right? H-E-K-A-S-T-O-S. Now, is a word that can be used as every or each. Did you get that? So, how do you now read that? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each, right? Now, take note of this. When you talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, you are actually talking about something being expressed or manifested. Did you get that? So, how will you say that? But is the word moreover. So, moreover, the expression of the Spirit is given to each man. Did you get that? Each man, or to each. Right? To profit, for profitability, to profit without. Now, the word profit without actually is a word that means to bear together or to do something at the same time or to bring together. Are we together? So it's not saying that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man so that he can make profit in the marketplace. Nope. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the manifestation, that is expression of the Spirit, is given to each, right, to bring together or to bring together certain things, or to bring to a collection, or to contribute in order to help. Yeah, so you write those definitions down, right, if you're following, right? So to bring or contribute or collect in order to help, right, to help, to bring together at the same time, or at the same time bring together to supply help. So what is the essence of the manifestation of the Spirit? Fundamentally, to supply help. Are we together, right? So the Spirit is God's help in man so that man can supply help to man, including himself. Did you get that? Right? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each to profit, to supply help. Right? You get that? Now you go to verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, right? To another, the word of knowledge. Now, on Sunday, we paid attention to this narrative. Now, we said when the Bible says to one, that phrase to one is a single word in the Greek. I hope you remember. A single word in the Greek, and it's the word N-E-N, men. Did you get that? So, for men is given, that's the Greek word. Not so, don't read men as an English word. M-A-N, mean, or men, whatever they want to pronounce it. So, but for to one is given by the Spirit. Now, what is the Spirit is talking about? That Spirit, he says, we've received, which is not of this world, but of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Did you get that? So, for to one is given. Now, we said the word for to one in the Greek is the word that means truly, certainly, surely, indeed, assuredly, or truly. So either of those words, truly, certainly, assuredly, indeed. Did you get that? So, in the real sense, when you see the Bible, you see, this falls back to what we're teaching about how the Bible wasn't written in English. Ideally, you might think that when it says, for to one is given, what it's teaching is that for to one, Mr. A, is given by the Spirit, the same Spirit, the word of wisdom. Then to another, Mr. B is given by the same spirit the word of knowledge. Now, I've told you that if you check your Bibles, when you look through the words of two, they don't have a Greek word in the Greek Bible. Right. So look at verse 8 carefully. Verse 8, the word four is there. I was together, right? But the word two, one, in the real sense, that word one is word that is the M-E-N, which is the word that means truly, certainly, indeed, assuredly, or surely. Did you get that? So how do you read 1 Corinthians 12:8? For surely is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Right, so if you maintain two from the first sentence and two in the second sentence, it almost seems like it's saying one person is giving word of wisdom, another person is giving word of knowledge. No, but if you look at it carefully, what it's teaching is certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Another is the word of knowledge, not to another the word of knowledge, not to another person the word of knowledge, but another gift is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So what is constant? Same Spirit. So same Spirit gives you, looking at me today, right, word of wisdom. The same Spirit gives you another. What is the another? Word of knowledge. The same Spirit gives you another. What is the another? The faith. The same Spirit gives you another. What is that? The gift of healing. The same Spirit gives you another. What is that? Prophecy. The same Spirit gives you another. What is that? Tongues. Another. What is that? Interpretation. Did you get that? Working of miracles. Do you get that? So it's not that the Spirit of God, which is constant, gives Mr. A, gift A, then gives Mr. B, gift B, then gives Mr. C, gift C. No, it is that the Spirit of God gives Mr. A, gift B, gift C. Then gives Mr. B, gift A, gift B, gift C. Then gives Mr. C, gift A, gift B, gift C. What is the goal? To supply help for profitability, to profit without. Did you get that? So it is that the manifestation is given to each of you. Who are the each? Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C. So to each of you is given the gifts of the Spirit. Not each gift is given per person. No, it is Mr. A has gift A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Altogether, not that the Spirit of God looks at a million believers and just distributes the gifts among separately. No, it is for each of those 1 million believers, all of them, they've been given the gift of the Spirit, which is going to be the 9 of them together. So, Mr. A, gift A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? H, whatever the number is, 9. I, whatever you get to, right? I'm just saying gift 1 to 9. So Mr. A is giving gift 1 to 9. Mr. B is giving gift 1 to 9. Mr. C is giving gift 1 to 9. Mr. T is giving what? Gift 1 to 9. So gift 1 to 9 is given to all the saints. Are we together? So every man that is a believer, or let me say it differently, every man that has received the Spirit. What Spirit is that? The Spirit which is of God. Not the Spirit of this world, right? That same Spirit you've received has what you call the things, has what you call gifts. Did you get that? So for certainly is giving, right? And you see, Paul uses that same word men in Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 10 carefully. So he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill in all things. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles. You see, that word some is the same exact Greek word, men, that we're talking about earlier on, which is the one used as one. So can you see how the translation makes you see one? The same Greek word, same word, one, men, rather, in a context used as one, in a context used as some. Did you get that? But in the real sense, so if you look at First Ephesians 4:11, it's easy to teach that what is going on there is that God gave, or Jesus, by the, after the resurrection, gave some people apostles, then gave some people, that is, he ordained them from their birth that they will be prophets. No, what he's really teaching here is that the gifts that are given, or what you call ministry gifts, to create a level or sense of order within the local church. altogether to create a sense of order within the local church. They are apostles, they are prophets, they are evangelists, they are pastors, teachers, right? And all of them, if you look at that, they all have the same mission and vision statement. They all have the same goal. What is the goal? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does it mean for the edifying of the body of Christ? For the building of the body of Christ. So the building of the body of Christ is something that will be more solidified because of the ministry gifts that God gives by the resurrection. So did you get that? So what's the word sum? So if you like mathematics, you can say the word sum in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 is equal to the word to one or one in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8, right? And is equal to the word men in the Greek, which is equal to the word certainly, truly, indeed. You see, a lot of times, if you write the way I say, the way I talk, or write the things I say, the way I say them, a lot of times they will stick with you longer than you would imagine. Do you understand? So so if you write some, you say Ephesians 1, so if you just stick there, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, bracket sum, is equal to 1 Corinthians 12, 8, bracket to 1 or 1, bracket close, is equal to Greek word, Greek bracket men, equal to English bracket, truly, certainly, comma, indeed, surely, whatever. Did you get that? So what do? You now replace your final conclusion in First Corinthians, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 1 Corinthians. So if you were to read Ephesians 4, 11 carefully, how would you read that? So for Jesus, that is, he gave certainly apostles, right? Then gave prophets, are we together? Or gave certainly. In fact, if you check very well, in some Bibles, you will see some of the word "some" in italics, meaning they don't have original manuscript words. So it is certainly by the Spirit or by the resurrection is ministry gifts into bracket apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why do we have ministry gifts? Because God is a God of order, right? Not everybody will disciple everybody equally by the same time. No, right? There's such a thing called order because God always will use men to communicate his plan on the earth. Did you get that? However, with the order established, no matter the ministry gift or the offices a man, a believer operates in, right? It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the what? The body of Christ. Till what? Till we all come in the unity of faith. That is of the knowledge of the Son of God. So what is unity of faith? Unity of faith is equal to coming into the knowledge of the Son of God equally together. Did you get that? Right? What is the end goal? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. So the goal is that you are no longer a child. How do you know a child? Look at it. Tossed to and fro. A child is that one which is easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So anywhere the doctrine comes, anything that the doctrine sounds like, as long as it is said calmly with a lot of audacity and very fine-tuned words, right? You are there. Did you get that? So what is the goal of ministry gift? Perfecting of saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God wants the body of Christ to be edified, in quotes. How will he do it? He will give ministry gifts by the resurrection. They will perfect the saints. So the saints will what? Do work of ministry. What is edifying? That word edifying is the word to build up, to strengthen, to solidify. Did you get that? So God wants to build up the body of Christ. How will he do it? By the ministry gifts, perfecting the saints for the work of ministry. Did you see that? So that saints are no longer tossed to and fro by what? Winds of doctrine. Anyways, I said all of that to explain 1 Corinthians 12, 8. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12 quickly. First Corinthians chapter 12. Look at it again. So verse 8. For certainly, for indeed is given by the Spirit. So I can write that in God's Palace Translation and say, for indeed the Spirit of God gives the gifts, or give these gifts. One, word of wisdom. Two, word of knowledge. Or, for the Spirit certainly gives the gift called word of wisdom, and another gift is the word of knowledge. And another gift is the what? The gift of faith. Are we together, right? So you see, so what will be word of wisdom? Let's take one after the other. We said word of wisdom in the real sense will be about standing in the present and going into the future to bring back information to the present. so that you can help in the present going forward, because you can't change the past. Do you get that? I'll say that one more time. What is word of wisdom? You're starting at the present, going forward into time to bring information from into time ahead of you, back into time to where you are to help where you are going forward. Did you get that? So think of word of knowledge, a word of wisdom as from point A all the way forward. Why word of knowledge will be word from point A all the way backwards? So what is word of knowledge? It is going back into time from the present to pick information to help guide and narrow and channel what will be done or what the future holds. But do you understand? So a lot of times word of knowledge will be used to identify certain people you want to give a word of wisdom to. So the saint always should know that when a word of knowledge is given, there should be a word of wisdom. Why? Because word of knowledge is just information. Right, so that information in the real sense should be with an end goal to let the believer or whoever is being edified get an instruction, an exhortation, edification, comfort regarding the tomorrow. Did you get that? Who is responsible for both knowledge and wisdom? It is the same spirit. So word of knowledge, spirit of God. Word of wisdom, spirit of God. Which spirit? The spirit that you've received. Not that of the world, but that which is of God. Right, so another is that which is of faith. Are we together? And by the same spirit, another is the gift of healing by the same spirit, right? Another is the working of miracles. Now, the question is there a difference between working of miracles, gift of healing, and faith? Well, quite slightly linked, because faith in the real sense, so the what you call the gift of faith will be that ability to receive the end of a matter. Or to do things out of the ordinary. So if you were to move a mountain from point A to point B, that's an exhibition of the gift of faith. Did you get that? So in the real sense, if we were to do something that was outside the ordinary, right, would be an exhibition of the gift of faith as well. What would gift of healing be? So gift of healing is not the same as working of miracles. However, they can be linked. Did you get that? So what will healing be? Oh, someone has a headache, you lay hands on the person is healed, right? Someone has a cancer, fibro, whatever it is, the person is healed. What is working of miracles? It is something that defies logic a lot of times, right? So when bread that is 5 loaves and 2 fishes is used to feed thousands of people, that's a working of miracles, right? When water is turned to wine, that's not healing, that's one working of miracle. So that's an application of the gift of faith and working of miracles. Did you get that? Right? When somebody's arm that is short grows out, that's a working of miracle, not healing. Yeah. Well, doctors might, well, it depends. It can be any of that. But you understand what I'm saying is something that defiles. When somebody says, the doctor says, I don't have a fallopian tube, right? And he says that this week, next week, you pray for her and she goes back to the hospital and it is there. That's what you call a creative miracle. You get that? That's a working of miracles, right? So a lot of times, some certain actions can be associated with it. So for instance, remember in Acts chapter 3, first part of Acts, where you see at the gate of beautiful, right? When Peter will say, silver and gold I don't have, but that which I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says Peter will put his hands with him and lift him, a man who has been lame. Did you get that? That's a working of miracles. So Peter walked it out. Did you get that? So there's a working of miracles. There's a gift of healing. There's faith. You see, why am I saying this? See, the moment you can accept and admit that one of them can work in you, that's the end of everything. Did you get that? When I mean end, I really mean the beginning of that journey to express the remaining 9 gifts. Did you get that? That's a figure of speech, right? So who are you? You are that believer who has received the Spirit of God. Because you've received the Spirit of God, you can operate in tongues. Look at Mark 14 or Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, carefully. Mark 16, 15. Are you there? Mark 16, 15. Look at that carefully. So he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now he that believes and is baptized is saved. What does it mean to believe and be baptized? It is he that confesses, that believes in his heart, that is to call upon the name of our Lord, shall not be what? Ashamed. Right? So what does it mean to not be ashamed? It means to be saved. What does it mean to be ashamed? It means that he believeth not, that is, he is condemned. Verse 16. Right? Now, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So who are those that believe in 1 Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians, they are those who actually believe the message of the gospel and they've received the Spirit. So they believe the message, they've received the Spirit, and by receiving the Spirit, there are signs that must follow them. Are we together? So, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So the moment you can accept one, let's even start with tongues, right? Casting out of devils and tongues are things that can be done by the same believer because it's the same spirit responsible for that. Altogether, right? So in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with what? With new tongues. They shall take up serpents and they shall drink deadly things. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. So all of these things are given as activities that can be done or manifestations that can be done through every believer. So you don't need to be a pastor to be able to take up serpents. And I hope you know that the serpents there is not snake in the snake as an animal. Right, that will be used as a figurative expression for the work of the devil. Did you get that? Right. So, in the real sense, when he says they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Right. He that believes shall speak with what? New tongues. So, once you take out tongues and you admit tongues, Paul now tells you part of the gifts of the Spirit is tongues. It means that because you can do tongues and it is by the same Spirit you can do other gifts, you can actually manifest other gifts. Are you there? Have you gone on? So, go back to 1 Corinthians quickly. Wow, what an introduction. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Time is gone. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 12 rather. So he now tells you again that these are the gifts of the Spirit. They are what? Words of knowledge. Now, on Sunday, we categorize them into various groups. Now, we said, number one, we have the utterance gifts. Are we together? We have the utterance gifts. Then we have the power gifts. Then we have the revelation gifts. Are we together? So we have the utterance gifts. We have the revelation gifts. We have the power gifts. I just explained utterance gifts and power gifts. No, I just explained revelation and power gifts and the examples. Now we said the utterance gifts includes tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Revelation gifts includes wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. What does it mean to discern spirits? It just really means discern activities of, or discern activities outside that which is of the Spirit of God. That's a different way to say it altogether. So to be able to discern strange things, right? Discernment. There's what you think called discernment is an ability of the Spirit. You can discern by the Spirit. You know you can discern when someone is lying to you. See, it's one of the things, well, you can actually discern when someone is lying to you. You can know, you know because of head knowledge. You can actually sense by the Holy Ghost when someone is saying something that's not true. You can. And more often than not, when we eventually know, sometimes we just overlook it. Anyways, so there's what you call the revelation gifts, which is what called the word of wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. Why is the revelation gift? Because it reveals. Altogether. So revelation gifts reveals. What are you revealing when it comes to word of knowledge? Past events, present events. What are you revealing when it comes to when it comes to word of wisdom? Present events, future events. What are you revealing when it comes to discerning of spirits? Activities that seem to be dubious, or that are those activities that can be out of the Spirit of God. Did you get that? So that's revelation gifts. Then you have the power gifts, which you call the gift of faith, which actually is hinged on both the gift of healing and working of miracles, right? So the gift of faith, the working of miracles, right? And the gift of what? Healing. Now go back to your Bibles. Look at chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. Look at chapter 12, verse 11. So look at this. It says, but all this worketh that one and the same, or self-same spirit. If you look at that word self-same, right, that word self-same spirit is the word as used as same in the previous verses, which is autos, right, A-U-T-O-S. Right, so what he's saying is just to make you reassure yourself that in the real sense, this spirit is the same responsible for everything. Did you get that? So let's look at verse 11 carefully. Right, the word but is the same word, moreover, like we said earlier on, that is in verse 7. So the word but in verse 11 is same word they, which is moreover, in verse 8. Are we together? So the when now says verse 11, all moreover, all these worketh. Now let's look at that word worketh a little. The word worketh is the word energio in the Greek. Energy. Right? Energio. Yeah, I'll spell that for you. E-N-E-R-G-E-O. So spell energy, removing Y and changing Y to E-O. Now, that word there actually means something that is operative, to be operative, or to be at work. Are we together? To be at work, to be operative, or to display an activity, or to effect, right? So, but all this, right, worketh that one and self-same spirit, right? So, how do you read that better? But all these are made to be operative, are we together, by that same spirit, right? So, and all these are put into operation by that same spirit, or in the real sense, all these, they work out or they are put forth, right? So, or the ability to do this will be, right? So, but all this worketh that one and the word self-same spirit. Now, the word dividing there is the Greek word diario, right? So, remember the Greek word we saw earlier on, which is the word diversities, which is was replaced in, as differences, right? In verse 4 and 5. So, diversities, differences is equal to diversity, which is what DRS is. Now, this word is the word dividing, right? And is a word that is in the Greek, diario, D-I-A-I-R-E-O, diario, right? Now, is a word that means to distribute or to divide into parts, right? Is a word that is used to divide into parts or to tear aside or to cut asunder, just to separate, to divide into parts. So all this worketh that one and the same self spirit, is that your Bible? One that is the self same spirit, is that a better way to read that? Right? So all this worketh that one, right, that is the self same spirit, distributing to what? Every man. Who are the every man? It will be back to what that same word we saw in verse 7, hekastos, H-E-K-A-S-T-O-S. All this worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to each severally. So the distribution is dependent on the willingness of the he, right? So the question now becomes, who needs to be willing? Look at that word there, baolomea, in the Greek, as he will. So if you check your Bible, the word he will, right, the word he will be the word bolomai, B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I. B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I, bolomai, or bolomai, yeah? Now, that's a word that means to will deliberately. That is to be deliberately willing. To will deliberately, to be minded or to be intentional. Yeah, that's another word to use for that. To be intentional. To be intentional. So now, if you look at that carefully, but as this, but all this, verse 11, worketh that one that is the self-same spirit, distributing each severally as he is intentional. Or depending on the intentionality. Before you do that, you see the word as. Whilst it was translated as in the Bible, in the Greek manuscript, is the word kathos. You see how it's spelled as, but it's the word kathos, K-A-T-H-O-S, kathos. And it's a word that is according to or according as. Do you get that? According as. Or just as, or in proportion as, or in the degree that. So if you want to use in the degree that, what will you say? Dividing to every man in the degree that he wills. Did you see that? Or what is he wills? Intentional. So it will be to the degree that he is intentional. Or what is intentional? Deliberately willing. How else can you say that? Dividing to every man to the degree that he is deliberately willing. Or intentional about it. So it is the intentionality of the man that determines what manifestation man will see. Did I help you there? Right? So how do you read that again? But all this, so let's put it in context. So all these things of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit or manifestation of the Spirit, right? They work or they are brought into effect by the same and what by the one that is self-same Spirit. Now the division or the distribution to each. See, look at verse 7 again. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says the manifestation is given to every, that is to each. So it is everybody that has it. Distribution in verse 11 cannot now be dependent on the Spirit that gives everybody. Did you say that again? Look at verse 7. The manifestation is actually given by, that is the expression, the ability to do it. The manifestation is given by the Spirit to every believer. You cannot now say that same Spirit now determines the division. No, it is the Spirit that actually gives you, then you determine the distribution division. Did you see that? So all this work, that one and the self-same Spirit, full stop, the division of this gift or the distribution of this gift or the diversities of the manifestation of this gift is dependent on each man. Did you get that? On each man. Now, the word there severally is the word idios. Now, it's a word that means pertaining to oneself or belonging to oneself or one's own. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Pertaining to oneself or one's property or one's own. What do I mean by one's own? Your own, somebody's own. Yeah, that's another way to say that. Or belonging to somebody. Are we together? So, how do you do that? The division to each, right, is belonging or belongs to according to his intentionality. Or let me say it better. That's Bible interpretation for you. So, the believer needs to be intentional according to what he has received to distribute. Right? Or, in order for the believer to distribute, right, that which is his own, he needs to be willing. Yeah? You see, I'll speak to some of you after this meeting and sometime along the series, and I'll ask you a better way to read that verse. Right? So I've given you the independent words, and I'm trying to say, look for a better way to say it, to show you understand it. Look at that carefully. The believer needs to be intentional and deliberately willing so that according to what he has received, he can easily distribute. Okay, I think I like that. Did you see that? I hope you saw that, right? So the believer needs to be willing, or let me say it another way. The believer has something he has received. That's the word that is several, that is pertaining to oneself or belonging to, it is your belonging. You now have it. Why do you have it? Because you receive the Spirit, and with the Spirit gives what gifts, or there are things of the Spirit. So, but all this worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man. So, in the real sense, you can actually read verse 11 as two different concepts. Because if you try to connect together, that is what will make you think it is the self-same Spirit that is dividing. But I told you earlier on in verse 7 that Spirit, though, it gives to every, it gives to each. Do you understand? So, If I were to, oh gracious Father, what a way to write a scripture. Okay, let's write our translation. Did you get that? We've put some context around the Bible, around some of these words here. Let's now write from verse 4. Let's write from verse 4. Did you get that? So go back to verse 4 of your Bible. Did you get that? So now, there are diversities of gifts. Okay, let me try and infuse the words we have changed them with. Did you get that? Now, there are different gifts. That's God's Palace translation. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different administrations of the gifts, but the same God or Lord. And there are different operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, before you continue, look at verse 6 again. It is the same God which worketh all in all. Right? All in all. That means the ability to make effective. That means the Spirit of God is responsible for everything you're talking about. Right? So look at verse 7. Moreover, the expression of the Spirit or the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is an ability that is given to every believer. Or let me say to each believer. You know, each and every can change depending on the context you are using. When you say every believer, you can say maybe, some people can say it is every believer. Anyways, every should mean every. But when you say each, you know you are definite that as long as you are a believer, you are an each. I hope you get the point, right? So he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each believer to supply help. That's profit with her. Verse 8, for indeed is given. But so I'll put a full stop there. For indeed, for certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And another gift the Spirit gives is the word of knowledge. Another gift is that which is of faith by the same Spirit. And another is the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Another is the working of miracles by the same Spirit. Another is prophecy by the same Spirit. Another is discerning of spirits by the same Spirit. So another actually will be another tongues. Another interpretation of tongues. Moreover, all this worketh that one and selves in spirit. Full stop. Did you get that? Full stop. I'll not end my statement with this. Or I'll say comma. I'm not understanding with this. The believer needs to be very intentional according to what he has received in order to see these gifts well distributed. Are we together? So when you now go back to verse 12, now says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is what? Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Gentiles, whether we be born free, and we've been all made to drink into one. You see, he continues talking about same Spirit, one Spirit, same Spirit, one Spirit, same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Do you understand? So he now starts teaching you about the importance of all of them conjoining themselves and the importance of saints, basically, and all of those things. So, for if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We will not look at this in this series, maybe in our season 3, so to say. Altogether. But are you getting the point? Right? So go back to verse 10. So the believer needs to be willing according as to what he has received so that we can see a distribution. Right? Same thing. So let's now start with tongues. Yeah. So what will tongues be? Tongues is that language which is of the Spirit that you have to be willing and actually intentional to open your mouth to speak. Right? What is being said is not from your mind. What is being said will be utterances and ability given by the Spirit. Did you get that? Right? So if you look at Mark 16, we're able to say that this sign shall follow them. We said the word there, they shall speak in new tongues. The word new is the word kainos. Right, and that word new, a lot of times, it is better used as that which points to a subject matter, or that which does not exist or has not existed before. That's why the Bible says, therefore, every man being Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things are of God, well, reconcile us back to himself. You get that? So, in the real sense, new tongues in Mark 16, we saw that on Sunday, will be equal to other tongues in Acts 2. Look at Acts 2 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts 2, 4. Right? So, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Right? As the Spirit gave them utterance. So, the Spirit gives utterance. What do? You begin to speak. Why will you begin to speak? Because you actually bolemai. What is bolemai? As he wills. According as you will. Do you get that? Because you have to be willing. So there is a speaking of tongues, other tongues in verse 4. That word other is the word heteros. And it's a word that infers that that tongue that is being spoken about is not an evolution of a language or related to any language. That's why it's called other. Heteros, another. That means different from the normal human language. Altogether. So it is not a language that is learned. It is a reality for the new creature. Or the new creation. So the new creation has the reality of what you call tongues, right? So tongues, like I said, is only and it is for only believers, or tongues is for only and only spoken by believers. So Acts 2:4 says they spoke in other tongues. But look at verse 11. Crete, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. This our tongue is the word opposite of other tongues. What is other tongues? Other tongues equal to new tongues. So if you are following, yeah, Mark 16:17, new tongues is equal to Acts 2:4, other tongues. Right? Then you can even put is not equal to, you know how to write it, is not equal to equal, then cancel it. Is not equal to our tongues, Acts 2:11. So there's new tongues, other tongues, same WhatsApp group. Then there's our tongues, which is same a different WhatsApp group. Did you get that? So the mouth is used to speak both of them. So both other tongues, new tongues, anything you want to call it, and our tongue is the same mouth that is used to speak them. However, the source, the roots, the reality is different. So the reality of tongues is that which is limited to the man which has what? Received the Spirit of God. All together. Look at Acts 10, verse 44. Look at Acts 10, 44. While Peter yet spake these words. So, you know, you can have encounters of while you yet speak. You know, I've had encounters of people when I want to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And whilst I'm trying to explain the doctrine, they've already gone. You can have those encounters, right? Why? Because it's the same Spirit that's responsible for everything. Right? So, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. Now, what does it mean by the Holy Ghost fell? It is not that Holy Ghost was flying. And all of a sudden, as he was flying, something, he now hit something, then landed on the floor. No. The Holy Ghost fell will be an expression used to speak about an action that a third party saw. We'll look at that when we speak about the Spirit within and Spirit upon. Right? So, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were what? Astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So, it means that what they were seeing right now in their very eye was an expression of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, mind you, when they believed, what did they receive? The Spirit of God. What did they believe? Receive again? The manifestation of all the gifts. So, what is the first one they saw? They saw what? The gift of the Holy Ghost, which is what? Look at verse 46. They heard them speak with tongues. They heard them what? Speak with tongues. Did you see that again? Right? So, they heard them speak with tongues. They heard them speak with tongues. Yeah, that is other tongues. Right, what did he call it? He says this is so he says that upon the Gentiles also was poured out the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Right, so where was that gift poured out from? First received by the Gentiles in them, and we saw them pour it out. Right, that Spirit upon. Right, that means they took an action. What is that? The Holy Ghost fell. So the Holy Ghost fell is that they saw a third party action on those who had received or believed the message of the gospel. Did you get that? Why do you think it is that they were saved? Because what Peter was teaching was actually the message of the gospel. So what did they believe? The gospel. Look at verse 43. If you go back to time. Right? Look at verse 43. For to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall what? Receive remission of sin. So what is the topic Peter was teaching on? He was teaching on the what? Remission of sins, that is forgiveness of sin. What is that? The gospel, right? God's love. While Peter yet spoke, that is why. So don't think about it this way. Don't say that in the real sense, while Peter spoke, they were not born again, but they spoke in tongues. No, it is that there was a point in Peter's message they already believed. And because manifestation of the things of the Spirit is already given to you the moment you believe, you can express from that moment immediately. Did you know what I just thought? I said something very important. Don't assume that they first spoke in tongues before they believed the gospel. No, tongues is for only those who have believed the gospel. What is the gospel? The summary can be that which is the message of the forgiveness, that is remission of sins. Right? So what do you receive when you hear the gospel? You either believe or stay in unbelief. When you believe, what do you receive? You receive the Spirit. Not of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. So while Peter yet spoke, you must also know that Peter's message took time. It was a long conversation. Oh, it was. But in the midst, so it means that you can have a 1 hour conversation with an atheist. And whilst you are talking, he would actually start speaking in tongues. Not because he's still an atheist at the point he spoke in tongues, but because along your narrative, he had believed. And by believing means he has received the Holy Ghost. So it might be after your 28 minutes, it might be after your first 5 minutes, and he starts speaking in tongues. For that tongues to be tongues, it is that he has believed within your first 4 minutes. Are you getting the point? So your first 4 minutes, your first 10 minutes, no matter the time, because this narrative that Peter did there did not happen overnight. It didn't happen within a second, right? Within a jiffy, right? Within a millisecond. No, it took time. Right? So, whilst Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So, why do you think the Holy Ghost fell? Right? So, if you look at verse 6, for they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnified God. Let me ask you a question. If you go back to they heard tongues and magnified God. For them to know the tongues was magnifying God, it means that in the real sense, there was a sense of interpretation of tongues in verse 46. Okay. Go to Acts 2. Go back to Acts 2. Go back to Acts 2. So what do you see in Acts 2, 4? In Acts 2, 4, the first thing you see is that what? They spoke in other tongues. Yeah, what is other tongues? A tongue that is different from the language of human. Did you get that? And go back to verse 11. Create Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue. What is in our tongue? It is that a language our minds can comprehend and understand. What were they saying when they heard their tongue? They were hearing about the wonderful works of God. Is that similar to the magnified God in Acts 10? Yeah, it is. Right? So they are quite similar. What does it mean to speak well of the wonderful works of God? That is to magnify God, give God the praise. So in real sense, if you look to the book of Acts, we keep seeing tongues. We keep seeing tongues. But one thing you must know, dear saints, is that we didn't see the doctrinal explanation in the book of Acts. Because Acts is fundamentally an eyewitness book. Eyewitness account book. Luke is writing to all great Theophilus. Are we together? So Luke tells you that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you notice very well in the book of Acts, it is a descriptive book, right? We don't see the explanation, we just see a description. We just see Philip meet a man and speaks to the man, teaches him from here, right? But we don't see the details of what Philip taught. Are we together? You just hear that in Acts 10, Peter preached the word and was preaching remission of sins, but you don't see the doctrine that he really taught. You just see the summary. So when we now go to the epistles, we now see what? The explanations of the descriptions of Acts. So how will a good student consider the book of Acts? Acts, a very important book, however, must be seen as an eyewitness account. Which means, what is an eyewitness account? It's an account that usually takes the form of journalism. So it means that the book of Acts will have a journalistic perspective. Right? So it means that in the real sense, we just might not or should not build as much doctrine in the book of Acts. Why? Because let me tell you something for free, which we'll investigate in years to come. You see, the book of Acts is the book that shows the initial acts of the apostles within the early days of the church. So it means there were some things that their minds outgrew over time. Right? So you still see them do certain practices, certain things, but they outgrew it over time. That's the truth. They outgrew it. Altogether. Right? So now, go back. You are seeing Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. Right? Verse 13. So, when you start talking about some of them were in doubt, some of them were amazed. What does this mean? Some were mocking it. Now, look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Mind you, how many languages did we see? Right? How many languages did we see in Acts 2? Two languages. Other tongues, human. No, let me say it better so you remember. Other tongues are tongues. Our tongue. What is other tongue? Heteros tongues, right? What is our tongue? Our human understanding that makes sense to our mind. Hold on, that's the only two you see. Do you understand? So look at verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as is supposed, seeing that it is just the third hour of the day. What does that really mean? It means this was 9 o'clock. Altogether, right? So if how many hours do you think they prayed for? Or how many hours do you think they were fully in that meeting? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, usually it will mean that they start counting their day from 6, right? So what would third hour of the day be? Third hour of the day would be at about 9, right? So this encounter of them in Acts 2, they were in accord in one place, would be day of Pentecost that is lasted from 9 minimum to what, 3? Right? 6 rather to 9 in the morning, what you call 9 a.m. Did you get that? Right? It is just about the third hour of the day. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, you actually get some doctrinal explanation in the book of Acts, but not as much as you get in the epistles. Right? So he says, Joel said this. What did Joel say? And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, mind you, what is last days? Last days doesn't mean when people will start taking COVID vaccine. What is last days? Last day just really means the end of the world. What you call the fulfillment. I know I taught that a few weeks ago. That which is the accomplishment of fulfillment. The end matter. The end goal. Are we together? The fulfillment. So we're in the last days. Are we together? We've been in the last days. We will remain in the last days. So last day is not about, you know, when people will start using rainbow color to use church logo. No. Last day is not when men are beginning to marry men. No, that's not last days. Last days will be, that will be the days where we see the fulfillment of the prophecies that were given before time. Did you get that? So, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, what the prophet Joel say? In the last days, saith God. So God says in the last day. What is last days? Don't forget. Last days will be the day where there will be the fulfillment of the prophecies, the accomplishment of the prophecies, right? So we are in the last days already, not because there's somebody that is in power, not because this man is dead, not because this man is alive, not because this man wants to rule a country for 50 years. No, we're in the last days in the fact that we're in the day of the resurrection. Together, right? So Joel said that it shall come to pass in the last days, right? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? They shall prophesy. Your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy, right? Your young men shall see visions, right? And your old men shall dream dreams. He's not saying that only old men will dream dreams. Then young men is for vision. So anytime a young man sleeps, the only thing he can see is vision, right? Then if you are not a son, if you are not a daughter, you cannot prophesy. For prophecy is for sons and daughters. No. What Joel was itemizing was trying to capture all of humanity altogether. So it's not, look at verse 18. And my servants and of my handmaid I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He's not saying before you prophesy, you must be a house girl, you must be a house boy, you must be a maiden, you must be a servant. No, that's not what he's teaching. What he's trying to cover is the fact that every single person will be accounted for in the last days. Why? Because God is going to pour out his spirit upon where? Upon who? Upon all flesh. So it will be that all. So when you see sons, daughters, maids, and servants, old men, is capturing the inclusion or the inclusivity of what all flesh will be. Did you get that? Right? So what is Peter doing? Peter is saying what you saw is actually something Joel spoke about that will happen in the last days. So it means that this last days already started from Peter's time. Glory to God. Are we together? Don't forget, last days is not when the world will be destroyed by flood. No. Remember, like I've said over time, what is the end of the world? The end of the world is not that period when everywhere will be destroyed and somebody with fork, with big fork, will now be pursuing you and using spade to flog you. Then when you run, they will disappear. Then before you know it, you say, you think I cannot see you, you think you're hiding, we can't see you. No, those are cartoons. That will never happen. Did you get that? That will never happen. Right, that will never happen, right? And you're waiting for some being, some antichrist that will come, right? And they start pursuing you. You will run as you are running, no matter how fast you run, they have swifter legs. God gives no. It takes a lot of not paying attention to common sense to believe a lot of these things. Are we together, right? So what is actually being taught here? So Peter is saying, you see what you saw just a few minutes ago, actually, Joel spoke about it. It's about the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, so that they shall what? Prophesy. So you see, Peter did not talk about tongues according to what Joel spoke. Did you get that, right? So it means that what did Peter talk about as to what happened? Now, I explained this a few minutes ago. How many languages were found within Acts 1 and 13? Two languages. Other tongues, our tongue. What is our tongue? Our tongue was their language, Jewish language. And I hope you know, all of them that were listening to Peter could understand this. They didn't have interpreter. I would say Peter stood up with a voice, right? So all those different nations that were mentioned are people that actually have relocated to other parts but came back for the feast. But now they've come for the feast, Peter can stand up with a voice in unison and speak to all of them, and they will understand without interpretation. And did you get that? Right. So what is Peter saying? So that means there are fundamentally two languages. What are the two languages? Our language, other language. So what is other language? Etheros glossia, which is etheros tongues. What is etheros tongues, which is what? New tongues. What is new tongues? A tongue that doesn't have an evolution in human language. You get that? A tongue that doesn't have an evolution in human language, but really a tongue that actually has is the reality of a person who receives the Spirit of God. Right? So what did Peter call it? Peter did not now say, for Joel said they shall speak in tongues and other language. He says, for Joel said they shall prophesy. So where are we going to get the doctrine behind prophesy? We will go back to the epistles. Like we said, this is a journalistic view of what was happening because Luke wrote the book of Acts. So Paul's revelation in things of the Spirit will enlighten us to what exactly was being spoken about. Right? So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Altogether. Now concerning the things of the spirit, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. What is ignorance? To remain in the dark. So what is the cure of ignorance? Verse 3, I give you to understand. So the believer must not and cannot afford to be in the dark regarding the things of the spirit. Are we together? Right? So to be in the dark will be what you call the unlearned, the uninformed, the untaught, the unschooled, which is the Greek word idiotis. This is not a joke. Is the Greek word idiotis. Idiot is. You get that? See how Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 14:16. 1 Corinthians 14:16. See that carefully. 1 Corinthians 14:16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? That's what unlearned. Unlearned will be ignorant, idiotis. Altogether, he that occupies the room of the unlearned. Right, and it's similar to it really, but not the exact same thing, right? But really, that ignorant stuff will be to ignore knowledge or to be in the dark regarding subject matter. Did you get that? So now, what is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 12? Paul did not want believers to be ignorant of the teaching and the learning of the things of the Spirit. Why? So that they can be effective and participate in meetings to edify each and every one of themselves. What would that be? It will be to bring help, to supply help. How did Paul write it in 1 Corinthians 12? He says that I may profit with her. Did you get that? So in the real sense, there are varieties of the gifts, right? But in the real sense, they are actually endowments that are given to every believer. Right, so if you look at verse 4 again, 1 Corinthians 12, go back there quickly, 1 Corinthians 12. Don't forget 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are diversities of gifts. Now the word gifts, there is the word charisma, right? Now that word charisma is a supernatural faculty that is associated with a being. Let me say it better. Or it is not something that you develop, or, how do I say that carefully? It's not something that... Let me stay with what it is. Maybe on Sunday I might get a better explanation when I see your faces, right? But really, it's an endowment that comes with birth. That's the word charisma. Yeah? It's an endowment that comes with birth. That means you are naturally by birth endowed with this. What birth will this be? The birth of the new creation, that is to be born again. So when you are born again, you are supernaturally endowed with what? Supernatural faculties, supernatural abilities. Are we together? So there are supernatural abilities, supernatural faculties that the believer is endowed with. That is why when Peter spoke, that's why, in Acts 10, whilst Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. They spoke in tongues. What really happened? It means there was a point when they received the Spirit of God, and because they received the Spirit of God, they had supernatural faculties. They could speak, they could know, they could see. Did you get that? They could do the supernatural. Why? Because there were endowments that came with their being born again. So a man that is... Let me tell you something for free. You don't get these gifts by sowing seed. You don't get this gift by being committed to church. No! You don't get this gift by giving offering or giving tithe so your life will not be tithe. No, all those things are jokes. These gifts are natural endowments that are supernaturally given as abilities solely because you are born again. Solely because you are born again. Yeah, that is it. Let me say it better. If you've been a Christian for 20 years, right, and you've been a faithful Christian, and you go out to the street and get an atheist who has been an atheist for 20 years, you get him born again. The moment he is born again, that which you have is what he has. Did you get that? That which you received is what he has received. Straight, clean, clean. What might differ between you and him is knowledge. Because he might know he has received something, but might not even know what he has received. Right. So when he says there are diversities of gifts, what is he saying? There are diversities of supernatural endowments or faculties or abilities that came with your being born again. I say that to you, dear saints. There are varieties of endowments or faculties, supernatural abilities that have what? Been given to you solely because you are born again. So all the endowments and varieties of the Spirit are where? In the spirit of the believer. Hence, look at verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each believer. Are we together? So you are not more endowed than I am. Yep, yep. You see that word charisma? You don't have it more than I do, right? I might have something more than you, which is what I have practiced over time and increased in my knowledge, and I am better at it. Yeah. You see, there's a natural ability for a baby to see. You know now, when you give birth to a baby, it's natural. The baby doesn't need to grow up to so see before it starts seeing. Are you getting the point? A baby is born, and when the baby is born, the baby should have an eye, a mouth. To be. That's why when they say your baby doesn't cry, eh? What happened at birth? What happened? They flog the baby, they beat the baby, they beat the baby so the baby will cry. Why? Because it gives fear of what? Being dumb. You get that, right? So they flog, let me not use the word flog, but they spank the baby so that the baby will cry. You see, once the baby is born, there is cry. You see, the ability to cry is a natural ability given to a baby on account of the fact that he is born. You see, once the baby remains in the womb, I don't know if baby shout in the womb, eh? But the fact that the baby is born, he has an ability to shout. He has an ability to see. Do you get that? That's the same thing with the new birth, the spirit you receive when you become born again. So you become a new creation, a born again. And because you are born again, there are natural abilities. It means you can see supernaturally. You can know supernaturally. You are no longer an ordinary person. You have now become an extraordinary person. So you have been born again so that you receive the spirit. And with that spirit comes what? Varieties of what? Endowment found in that spirit. Are we together? So that's why it tells you, but the manifestation, what is manifestation? The expression, the unveiling, the revealing or the full disclosure, right, is given to every believer. So if all the diversities are of the spirit, that is all the supernatural faculties are of the spirit, then the diversities of the spirit are in the believer. Because diversity first will be of the spirit. What is diversity? That will be that which is different or that which varies or varieties. The varieties are of the spirit. So it is because the spirit owns the varieties. That is why when you say the spirit is in you, you say variety is in you. Hallelujah. Are we together? You see, oh gracious Father, there is a lot in you. You see, there are things much more than what you can imagine or fathom in your mind. You see, you are actually bigger than what you can think. Let me say it different. You are actually more powerful than your mind can comprehend. And that's why we come to church. But Paul will say that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us as saints. He said, I cease not to pray for you. That's why we pray. That's why we study. Because, you see, before you can get to that point where you even understand the fundamentals of the power of God in you, it will take you study prayer. The fact that you don't study, you don't pray, you don't understand doesn't mean the power of God is not in you. Yeah, but the power of God is in you. You study, you pray to understand, so you become much more effective and effectual. Did you get that? Right? So you see, this is not motivation speaking. The you in you is bigger than the you that you are. That is true. That is true. But I can say it better. The you in you is bigger than the you that you think you are. Yes. Yes. Because who is in you? The mighty one. Right? The mighty one, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, our God, our Ebenezer, right? The God, the creator of the universe, the God, the creator of the new creation, right? He is in you. So the you in you is really actually bigger than the you that you think you are. That is why we pray, we study, right? So that we know more, right? Paul says that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you, right? It is you. Yes, you. You, yes, you. You are no ordinary person. You are not a commoner. You are not an average person. There is so much more in you that the world is waiting for to see than what you can imagine. Than what you can imagine. Right? Right? So you might think, oh, I can heal only headaches. I can heal only this. I'm telling you, you can raise the dead. That's it. You can raise the dead. This is not to make you, no, this is not motivation speaking. This is reality speaking. This is what you call reality check. Right? You can actually raise the dead. Why? Because the power of God in you was the power that rose Christ from the grave. So which dead can that power not raise? Altogether. So you are not just an ordinary person. You're not just someone who... And that is why you need to, as a believer, guard your heart regarding things of the Spirit. You see, that is why there are quite some funny comedians who try to joke about the things of the Spirit. You know, I disdain those things. Why? Because once you allow your heart to be in a place of familiarity with things of the Spirit, you actually begin to see less of the expression in you. Why? Because you've joked around it. Things you joke about I don't take seriously, eventually might be taken as a joke to you or might be seen as a joke to your life. Did you get that? Right? So who are you? You are that man who God has extended the riches of his power towards. So you are God's rich man. The fact that you are God's rich man means that you are God's man that is full of the Spirit which is on earth. Means that the greatest riches of God's power has been demonstrated towards you. You are a man full of mercy, full of love, full of help. That God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, dwells in you. Paul now says, that Spirit that dwells in you, there are varieties. But because they are of the Spirit, they are in you. So I would not have you to be what? To be ignorant. So if Paul refers to them as charisma, then they are endowments of the Spirit that the believer has received by default upon what? Salvation. Hallelujah.